Thanks again for coming today, guys. If this is your first time here, just love to meet you. I know I met a few of you today that said, hey, I've been watching online, decided to come in. So if that's you, maybe say hi real quick, too, after the service in the lobby. Love to just shake your hand and say hello real quick. And then we're going to be jumping into a new series today, and this one's a little bit unique. So let me walk you through some high-level stuff on kind of where this is headed. Every handful of years here at Grace, we look at kind of 3 years at a time, right? And we look at where we're headed, where we believe God is taking us in the next window of time, and we call those chapters, right? We say we're going to open up a new chapter at Grace, and I try to kind of figure out where God is leading and kind of walk through that together, and we want to talk that through with you, right? So if you are brand new, and you're like, man, I've been here for a couple weeks now, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe this is your first time here, I just want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer so you know this conversation is going to feel different than a normal conversation on the weekend, right? And so just know that. It's actually kind of an awesome time to be here because you really get an inside look at kind of what makes us tick as a church, why we do what we do, and a really clear picture of where we're headed. But it's going to feel different. This conversation, what we're going to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks here, is going to feel like a conversation around the kitchen table, right, where we kind of as a family look and say, hey, this is what we think, where we think we're going. This is what it's going to take to get there. And so we're going to have some real conversations around that, around what it means to get involved, to be a part of the vision, to serve in that vision, to lead in it, to give to it, all of those realities. So we're going to talk kind of openly about some of those things in a way that would be a little bit different than how we would normally talk in a weekend. I'm going to say this. If you are brand new, thank you for giving us kind of the liberty to jump into this conversation and know it's a little bit different. If you are somebody who, if you're a student right now or you're a young adult, I just want, real quick, just want to say this to you. Don't check out of this conversation. Right? I just can't tell you enough how important and how helpful it can be to hear a vision of where God is leading a group of people. And when you see yourself as a part of that vision. It's not just something that the church is doing or something that grown-ups are doing. This is actually for you. And I remember hearing vision when I accepted Christ as a young adult in college. I was 19, and very quickly after that, I remember hearing vision for the first time of what God could do and that how I could be a part of it. And it was transformational to me, right? It was a big deal to hear that and say, man, I could be a part of seeing lives change and my contribution, my involvement, my service actually helps move the needle and God can use my life in a powerful way, right? So be in, right? Know that we want you in on that vision. A big piece of where we're going to head in the next 3 years is actually for you. We're going to talk about in a few weeks here to come. But those are just a few big pieces I wanted to make sure that you know about as we dive in. A big thing I want to make sure you guys do on the way out, I'm just going to say this so I don't forget to say it, is we put together a little booklet for you, and it is kind of loaded with information, right? So kind of more than we could probably say on a weekend. So I want you to grab one of these on your way out, scan through it, read through it, and we'll kind of break it down week by week a little bit of where we're headed. And this big effort is called For the One, and we want to open up what that means here today, even in our conversation. One more piece before we dive into kind of the heart of the conversation today. We tend to, here at Akron East and at Grace, we tend to go into a new chapter of vision with a concentrated effort around prayer. I remember I came over to this campus as an interim. The plan was not that I was supposed to stay here and be the campus pastor for this campus. That wasn't the plan at all. I was only supposed to come over for a little while and provide stability. And this campus, 6 years ago, was in a high school. I was about 120 people, and we were kind of contracting. We were kind of shrinking a little bit, and we didn't know where we were headed, and we didn't know what God was going to do, and we had no permanent location. And so we made a decision. We said, what we're going to do is we're going to do the thing that we know God tells us to do in his word. We're going to spend a ton of time in prayer. And so we decided and committed to spend 100 hours praying together. In that 100 hours, we kind of looked and said, God, would you move? Would you provide? Would you do something that is more than we even could ask, think, or imagine? And you fast forward, and I believe today we're sitting in the answers to those prayers that we prayed desperately 6 years ago. Fast forward 3 years ago, when we were renovating this building, right, that God gifted to us, a group of people and a small church kind of gifted us this building, joined us, and we walked into this together, and we renovated big parts of it. As we were renovating that, we said we want to go into another season of prayer, and you may or may not know this, right, if you just come in the last 2 years, behind all of the drywall and under all of the flooring, in all these spaces that you see, we wrote with Sharpies the prayers that God would move in a powerful way in this community, in the next generation. Some of you, your names might be written on the wall or on the floor that somebody who loves you prayed for you. And we would look and say, we want to have another effort as we go into a new season of vision. We want to go into another effort like that, where we say there's a concentrated time and we want to go big on prayer. So here's what we're going to do. In the next 3 weeks, we are going to spend 1,000 hours in prayer together as a church family. You're like, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of time. And if you've never prayed before, you're probably like, "What? I don't even know how I would do that." We'll talk you through it. We'll tell you how to be a part of it. And it's going to be just little tiny bits at a time, right? And we'll keep track and have a way to do that together. But here's the thing. We want to go into this moment asking God to work and asking God to work powerfully. We don't believe that our plans and our strategies is what creates life change. We believe that's something that only God can do. So we need to ask God to go before us and to move in the ways that we're headed. So we want to make sure you know about that as we dive into the conversation. Today what I want to do is I want to really show you the heart of what defines this whole next chapter that we're calling For the One. And here's the passage that we found this heartbeat from. It's going to be in Luke chapter 15. And Jesus is having this interesting conversation with the religious leaders of the day. This would happen a lot to Jesus. They didn't always understand what he was doing or why he was doing things. And here's what they would say in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Or you can just look on the screen, whatever you want to do. And here's what he says in Luke. He says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them.'" Right? So you can imagine this happening. There's people that were kind of far from God, that were living a lifestyle that the sinners and the tax collectors would have been hated, that they would have been seen as kind of sellouts to their culture and to their people. And Jesus was engaging this group of people that would have been rejected by kind of the community, especially the religious leadership community. And they're like, "Jesus, why are you doing that? Why do you love those people that act that way? Why do you have relationship with people that are unacceptable or offensive to us? You know they're not doing the right things. Why are you talking to them?" And in the ancient culture, to eat with somebody really meant that you approved of them. Man, to break bread together meant we're good, right? We're tight. We have relationships. So he's like, you're hanging out with the sinners and you're eating with them? Who is this guy, right? And they're muttering this to themselves. Jesus, in this like classic Jesus way, tells the story and kind of explains his heart and his passion as he goes on. He says this, "Then Jesus told them this parable. He says, 'Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully, he puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way," he says, "there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And what Jesus is doing here is he's helping the religious leaders of the time figure something out and understand something. He's helping them see. He's like, "I came for those who know that they need me. I came for those who are lost. And in essence, he's saying, you see them, you see people that are far from me or far from our ways as condemnable, or they need to be rejected or beyond hope or help. When I see them as lost. I see them as lost and I see them as valuable. They're not people that need to be rejected and thrown away and destroyed. They're people that need to be sought for and sought after. And he's like, my heart as a shepherd, this is what we do. We leave the 99 and we go for the one. In that heartbeat, the same instinct that Jesus would have to go for the one is the heartbeat of the church. It is what is to define a local church. And it's what's to define the heartbeat of a follower of Jesus. Because part of what we have to do in this whole thing is realize that we are the one. Jesus came and he came to seek and to save me. And then as I am found, I kind of jump into the boat of helping others to be found as well. Right? We would say it this way. Right? First, we are the one, and then we go in search of the one. I figure out that I'm somebody who needs to be saved. And by the way, if you're here and maybe just coming, you should know this, that we believe this. This is what we believe as a church. I believe I'm a sinner that needed a Savior to come and die for me. I needed the Son of God to live perfectly and die innocently to pay for my life so that I didn't have to die a spiritual death and be disconnected from God, but find hope and life in Christ. He came to save me, and he was willing to leave heaven to come here to earth, live among us, be crucified, all to reach me and to reach you. That's what we believe. We believe we are the one, right? And if you don't know Jesus today, I want you to know you're the one. We're here. The reason we're here is so that you could have truth and you could find hope. And we want you to find it. We don't look at you and say, you're condemned. Well, doesn't matter what your past is. Jesus paid for it. It's what he was doing the whole time. So I am the one, and then I jump into the family of God, and I help then to go reach and find the one. And this is exactly what happened in my life. Right? You got a big head there. Man, jeez. Right? Like, this is what happened in my life. Is I was lost and had no direction. I had no background whatsoever in church. I had no religious history whatsoever. My friend attended a local church, actually a new campus, our Bath campus, what was just starting, and he was a part of it, and he had the wherewithal to see that I was like the lost sheep. I didn't know Jesus. I hadn't found hope yet in him. And I had no idea where I was headed or where my life was going. As my friend took the gospel to me, I received that message. I said yes to it. Hope came to me, and then I joined into the family of God and became somebody then that would go and try to reach others with that same message that came my way. Right? First, we are the one, then we go in search of the one. This is the driving heartbeat of the church. So the church, right, if you're unfamiliar with how we don't think about this and think, hey, what should we do to make sure the lights stay on? Or what are the traditions? Or what do people want to do here? We think, how do we help reach this person? Who is lost without the hope of Jesus, just like I was? How do I get the message of Christ to them? That driving desire is what defines us in so many ways here. Because there's a short little window of time that we're here, and then we'll be with Jesus forever. And in that little window, I want to get the truth to people that are open and need to hear it. I want to get it to the one. And a huge way that we do that here at Grace is we do our best to try to see local churches show up in communities, because we know that when a group of Christ followers land in a community, that over time they're going to find their way to the one in that community. And right, that's probably a bunch of your stories here, right? I've had this happen a ton where you've come to say to me, somebody just said it in between service, Ryan, I'm actually on the verge of saying yes to Jesus, and if this church wasn't here, I'm not sure I would have ever heard it. That's what we're looking for right there. That person that's looking to find the hope of Christ could find it. Why? Because there's a local church that came to the community. We're not asking the community to come to the local church. So what we do here at Grace is we start what we call new campuses. And we try to multiply our church family and go into a new community where there's somebody else who is the one. And because this church is here, we might have a shot at reaching that person because there's a group of Christ followers that land closer to that person. Right? That's why we start churches. That's why our vision and prayer and goal of what we call 30 and 30, 30 churches in 30 years, that's our approach to try to see this play out and take that for the one heartbeat into as many communities as we can get to. So that's where we are, and as we look at this next 3 years of vision, that's where we're headed. Some of you guys know that we're looking at the Stark North campus that's going to be starting here soon. And it is super exciting, right? It's going to be in the kind of the South Hartville, North Canton, Middle Branch area. And what we would do is we would look and say, this community, could we reach more people for Jesus if there was a strong group of Christ followers there that could bring the hope of Christ to them, right? That's the question that we would ask. And this is typically how things work here at Grace, is at least this has been our story, is usually there's some form of church that pops up that's often in trouble, or they're looking for a path forward, and they would look and say, hey, would you invite us? Can we jump in with you? And would you think about starting a new church in our community? We don't have a path forward, but we want to reach people here. We would assess that and figure that out, and then we would look to start something in that area, and that's exactly what's happened here. In fact, some of the folks from Stark North, from the Middle Branch Church that would really be the impetus that started this new campus that we now call Stark North, they're here now. And this is a group of people that heroically would look and say, we would be willing to give up our building, and we'll leave our traditions in our norms, in our comfort, which, man, is way harder than it even sounds, especially if you've done it for decades. And they would look and say, we'll sacrifice all of that if we get a shot at reaching the one. If we could become a church that God would use to bring hope and life and help to the people of this community. And that has been the story of Grace Church, and that's been the story of Akron East over and over and over again. When we look at this Stark North community, we know that there are lots of folks, just like there's lots of folks here, who don't know Jesus. And we know this number, that in our Stark North community, there's 64,000 people not affiliated with a gospel-centered church. That's in a five-mile radius. 64,000 people that are somewhat maybe like my story, where if they had the opportunity to hear about Christ, and if they had a loving church family that they could connect with, that was open to them, that would seek them, that they may say yes, and it may cause a domino effect in their life and in the lives of the people around them. Right, so this is what we looked at, and we said we've got to do this, right? We've got to move towards it, and it's been fascinating to find kind of what this community looks like. Pastor Aaron is going to be taking the lead on that whole new work. He'll be the campus pastor there. It's been awesome to kind of see his heart attached to that community, him see the needs of the community, In fact, I just want to bring him up here actually for a few minutes just to tell us a little bit about what he sees God doing there in the Stark North community. Give him a big round of applause. Let's...
Yeah. Obviously, just that number is really the first thing that I saw as well. We did a study on the area and just started reading some stuff, and that number just jumped off the page at me. And over the past 12 years being a part of the Grace Church world, my wife Melinda and I have just grown to love the vision of this, the Going for the One. And it's what caused us to stay here, to come with the Akron East campus. And of course, when this opportunity came up, it just made a ton of sense to us. This is our opportunity to really just go on purpose and help continue to move the gospel forward. And so that was really our heartbeat to say yes to that immediately. As we've kind of dove into that, we have some people that this has just immediately made sense to that are represented in that number. There's people that are like, hey, if there was a church down there, we're driving really far. We'd like to come to one closer that's in our community. The people of Grace Church have responded to this too. They kind of know the vision, and there's a family that's actually here today that have been going to the Bath campus for 13 years, and their story is really awesome because they were starting to pray, hey, we're driving really far. We have kids. It's like a really long drive. We're praying for a church that we can go to in our community, and right around that time, we made the announcement of the Stark North campus, and they were scouring for another Middle Branch, Ohio. They're like, there has to be another one. But they found it's right next to their house. And so they were like, Aaron, we're in. They've been kind of at everything we've been doing. They're so excited about the opportunity to reach people there and to have a church in their community. So we have the Grace Church people doing that. As I've met people around the community just in a short time here, yesterday we had our first Stark North campus event. So we did a fall bash down at our building, which we are not inside yet. We're renovating
That's
it right
yeah.
now. And we just said, hey, we're in the community. We want to invite people out to know that we exist, kind of gauge the needs, see how people respond. And we had a pretty incredible response. We had about, I'd say 15 or 20 volunteers there. And then we had about 400 people show
wow.
up yesterday.
That's incredible.
Which was really awesome.
That's awesome.
So, the exciting part about that is it wasn't just a, hey, come get something from us. Every person I talked to on the way in, I was like, hey, we're going to be here. If you don't have a home church, we'd love for you to follow along. And when we open up, we'd love to invite you to check this out. And many of them were like, this is really needed. Hey, we're actually looking for a church right now. What is your church like? Because this is my past experience. Some people were like, you know, I've been thinking about getting back. So just had conversations. I haven't even got a chance to talk to all the volunteers about the conversations that they had yesterday yet, but the Lord brought people. There's people, even I met a guy last night who is here this morning with his family that we just met last night at the campus, and just the Lord is doing so much there. As I was over in, even in Hartville, there's an organization there called Hope Bridge. They work with foster families, single moms, and they do things like housing. And many of those houses that they have are in Plain Township, right near our campus. So there's just all the things we would hope for a church to be there to reach the one, families to connect with, opportunities to serve, and in just a deep need. I keep hearing from people that like that area needs this sort of thing. So certainly we can't reach the 64,000 number alone, but when we look and see what God is calling us into to reach the one. And my wife and I are excited to go with a core group of people that's starting to form. We're having interest meetings, getting around to go and say, can we equip, release, and lead people to help reach the one just over and over again, even at the Stark North campus? So that's what God is doing right now, just a little piece of that. But there are families, there are real people, and there are people who need the gospel that are excited that this is happening.
Love that. Love it. That's fantastic, bro.
Yeah.
Give Aaron a big round of applause, man. Guys, check out those interest meetings. We'll talk more about what this looks like, but Aaron is in the thick of it. He's done a phenomenal job, and we're going to see a huge need, of course, when he and the group of people that step out, we'll see some needs here, and we're going to see how that actually plays out in real time. When we start a campus, let me kind of break it down for you and how it actually works, because when we start new campuses, the reality is everybody grows. Everybody grows, and here's why. When we look at a need like what we said, when a church comes or there's an opportunity, a community that says, hey, will you start a church here? We look at that, assess that, pray that through, and then decide, are we going to do that or not? And when we say yes, what we'll do is what we're doing right now is we'll invite our existing campuses and say, hey, is there anybody who's willing to go? Who here will go and they'll look and say, I'll go. I'll leave the my current kind of comfortable situation here, and I will go be part of the core group of people that help to form this new church, right? We'll help and we'll bring our consistency and our service and our leadership and our giving and kind of like our we know what's going on-ness and bring that to bear here. In this new campus, we hope, right, is then used by God to help reach the one, right? To reach the one in that new community. So the group of people that go, they grow like crazy. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. All of a sudden, it feels very different to leave and to go start something new and be on a new, kind of a new path there. Here's the reality is, not only does this group of people grow, and the people that gather here grow, but here's what happens. When this group of people is sent and they leave the existing campus, right? Because here's what's going to happen. This group of people, they're not just going on a mission trip. They're going to go and they're going to lead. Some of you are going to do that. What happens is it leaves a hole in our existing campus. It leaves a gap here. And where there were people that were serving or drumming on the weekend or serving coffee or giving financially or leading a community, well now there's a big hole right here where those people were. And so what happens is the people that stick around have to look and say, are we going to go and are we going to fill that hole? Right? That's the reality. Because here's what we're looking at. What we're praying for, I'm praying for, and we as a team are, is we're praying for 75 people to leave the Akron East campus and go, be sent to go start the Stark North campus, right? That is a good size group of people to go help start basically a new church plant. When that group gets to go, there's going to be a pretty massive hole here. So here's what I'm looking for. And what I'm going to ask each and every one of you to figure out and to consider and to pray through, okay? All of us should try to discern and pray through if we're going to be the people that go or the people that stay. Here's what I said in your notes. I said, begin praying about whether God is calling you to stay on purpose or to go on purpose. God, would you use me and send me into this new work? I'll be willing to leave what's normal and comfortable and go start a brand new church plant to reach a brand new community to find the one here in this circle. Or, God, would you use me to stay on purpose and to go fill back in what was left by the group that went? Where maybe I wasn't serving and now I am serving, or I wasn't giving and now I am giving, I wasn't leading, but now I'll be trained to. I will own this and make this mine. When we go through this process, everybody grows. Aaron's going to grow like crazy because he's going to take on a new role. These people are going to grow like crazy because they're going to go jump into a new thing. This group's going to grow like crazy because they're going to fill that hole. I'm going to grow because we're actually taking on a new role here as a campus. We now take on the role of what we call a parent campus. A parent campus. Right, so the Akron East campus is going to turn into the dream of becoming a hub where other campuses could launch from. And when Stark North has some needs or needs support, they're not going back to the Bath campus or one of our other existing campuses. They're coming back here for help. So we're going to grow in that to help support them and help them become all that God wants them to be. So that is the thing that we're going to look at. We believe God is calling us to start this new campus. Because of that, we believe God is preparing and working in some of our hearts to go be sent to be part of that. And we also know that God is going to raise many of us up to carry a little bit of weight to help fill that hole back in and continue to reach the Akron East area because there are enormous needs right here in our community as well. Right? But we have to keep going. Why? Because the one is over here too. And when the church multiplies, the impact of it multiplies and the reach multiplies and more and more and more people come to know Jesus. So you're saying, Ryan, what do we do with all this? We're going to break all this down here over the next 3 weeks, okay? Three more weekends. And what I would love for you to do is be here, be engaged. If you can't be, catch up online, right? We're going to talk through massive goals that we're looking at to multiply. That's what this whole emphasis is. Multiplication involves all of this. We're going to talk about how we're going to reach our community here at Akron East, and we're going to talk about some intentional efforts that we're going to fire to engage the next generation. That's where we're headed. Here's the direct thing that I'm asking you to do. I'm asking all of us to engage in this 1,000 hours of prayer. Engage in this 1,000 hours of prayer. We're going to have a way for you to, if you can pray for 2 minutes at a time, it doesn't matter. Little bits and pieces where we can all pray together, and the first thing we want to pray through is this big decision. God, are you calling me to stay, or are you calling me to go? Those are the two big things we're starting with today, and we'll have things to pray through each and every week. 1,000 hours of prayer. The way that we're going to do that is you can do that by yourself. You can do that with a friend. You can do that at home. You can do that with your family, with your kids if you have them. We also put together some organized ways to do that. We're going to gather in an evening. We're going to gather in some mornings. If you're part of a community, you'll pray for this. If you're part of a serving team, you'll already pray for this. If you're in collective, you're going to pray for this. If you're in student ministries, you're going to pray for this. Right? So we're going to do all this together, and what we'll do is you can access all that here through this QR code, and you can track that, whether that's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, and we're going to begin to ask God to move in all these ways. Okay. God, would you go before us, and would you work in ways that are beyond what we could think, ask, or imagine? That's the reality, guys, is whenever we have done this, whenever we have said, before we go all the way in on a big move, God, we want to seek you with all that we have. What we have found is that God does more than we could think, ask, or imagine. More than we could plan or strategize. I never could have imagined that we would be where we are today as a campus. We haven't even been in this building for 2 years yet, right? We were like, this thing should hold us for a while, right? And God is just continuing to expand and grow and multiply. It's beyond what we could think, ask, or imagine. We believe that God is going to do that again. He's going to grow us and stretch us in this effort. Here's what we're looking at, right? This 1,000 hours that we're talking about. We'll get that slide back up. There we go. The 1,000 hours that we're talking about, we want to gather together and have a worship night just to pray, to worship, to celebrate what God is doing. And then if you are interested in being part of this group, I can't encourage you enough to go to those Stark North interest meetings. Grab a hold of those, right? Show up to them. Talk to Aaron and the rest of the team there and get a little more info about what that means and what it means to be a part of it all. Right? Guys, when I think about my story, I look back and say, I don't know where I would be today if the Norton campus didn't start a campus that could reach me. If there wasn't a local church that would come within striking distance of my life, I don't know where I would be. And if you think just for a minute about If you've been here and this church has maybe helped you some, can you imagine, even if you're brand new and you haven't received anything from Grace yet, can you just, even looking around, can you even imagine if this church wasn't here? The void that it would leave in impact and in people's lives. And that's not about us. That's what God does. He multiplies his church and he sends his people. And that's how that whole thing has played out all the way from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago all the way here to Akron, Ohio. And now we're going to look and say, we're going to continue to pass it on, to pay it forward. Somebody got really uncomfortable and left for us. And now we want to look and say, God, would you do that through me? Somebody filled the hole that was left because the Akron East campus was started. They raised up and filled that back from the Bath campus. And I'm so glad they were willing to do that so that we could exist. Let me just speak to you personally for a minute. There are some of you who have been, you've been coming here maybe for the last couple weeks or couple months, or maybe you've been around with us for a couple years now. And you would look and say that this is probably my home. Like I go here. And you attend here. And if you go to Christmas or Easter, you're going here. And it feels warm, you feel connected. And there's a moment that comes when you kind of have to decide, am I just going to stay at the fringe of what God is doing? On like the outskirts. Where I come and I receive something and I attend something and I watch something happen each week. Versus when you cross a line and you say, I'm going to own this vision. I'm going to make this my church. I'm going to put skin in the game. Because here's the thing. The church was never meant to be something that was just consumed. It was never meant to just be something that was passively received. The church isn't an event to attend. It's what we are. We are the church, right? And if you're not in yet, if you're not carrying weight yet, if you're not in the fabric of the joy of watching this play out and knowing that your little sacrifices, we all carry a little bit of weight and take on a little more water, that God is going to use that, and somehow that all ends up equaling this guy out here, the for one, that lady out here that doesn't have hope, their whole life is changed. That's how it works. And what I'm looking at you, and here's what I'm inviting you into, is I'm saying, don't stay on the sidelines anymore. If you've been watching or waiting for an invitation or the right time, let's just call this the right time. Now is the day. This is the moment. Right? And some of you folks, you've been through this before. You've walked through the big journeys with us, and you tear up a little bit when we talk about it. You remember the price tag. You know how God worked, and you remember the days when we prayed out to God and asked him to do something, and we were experiencing a little bit more of that. What if the rest of you who haven't walked into it with us, what if you joined? I'm not talking about members. I'm talking about skin in the game. We're going to walk through serving opportunities, break them down, and make it as stupid simple as possible. That you can look at a menu and say, here's how I can help. I'll be willing. All you got to do is raise your hand and say, I'm in. In this 1,000 hours of prayer, here's what I would be jealous for you to do. It is to look and say, all right, I'll let God have a crack at my heart. I'll give God some time in prayer. I'll put some minutes in. I'll maybe put some hours in. And I'll show up and I'll say, okay, I'm in on this. I don't know how I'm in yet. I don't know where I'm going to land on the map, but I'm in. And would you let God change this from something the church is doing to something that I get to be a part of? From something that's cool to watch and see happen from afar to something that I actually get my hands dirty in the middle of it. Where you pick up a shovel and you're part of moving some earth with us. Because that's what it takes. The reality is, guys, there's a bunch of people that paid to have this place exist and paid to have this place remodeled. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's a bunch of people that put coffee together and watching our kids and teaching them the Bible. There's a bunch of people that rehearse and play. They're carrying weight. We are going to need some of you to join in on carrying that weight. And some of you are going to look and say, man, I think I'm in on this move. 75 of you to go. This is multiplication. We say a lot at Grace, the secret sauce of Grace Church is our people's willingness to sacrifice. That has marked us. It's not awesome programs or really smart ideas. It's over and over and over and over again. God's people looking and saying, Jesus, you left the 99 for me. So I will step out of my comfort zone and go reach the one for you. Would you own that personally? I want to have the band come out. And I want to just give us a little bit of time just to let the Lord speak to us, to begin to pray and engage these 1,000 hours now, to begin to speak to our hearts and lead us into this next great effort. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Lord, we want to just be quiet before you here for a minute. And today we want to stand in awe of the fact that you would leave heaven and go to earth just to reach us. You leave the 99 to forgive us, to save us, that we might be people who are found. God, thank you that you're a God that seeks and saves the lost. That you're a God that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through you. God, would you open our hearts today to the reality that you want us to share in your joy of seeing lives changed. Of seeing those who have no hope find it. Seeing people move from death to life. God, would you speak to us even now as we still our hearts before you today?